An interview with Miss Evelyn Morris for the Crown Heights History Project, the 30th of July, 1993. Miss Morris's address is Carroll Street, where the interview takes place. Let me ask you, where were you born and when? Let's start at the beginning.
I was born in Blackville, South Carolina. 1935.
And when did you come to New York?
When I was 12.
When you were 12? Okay. Yeah. Where did you go to?
What street?
I went
to Bed-Stuy.
Okay. And what part? Where?
Macon Street between Patchen and Reed.
Did your whole family move up? Or?
Yeah, my mother was here already.
Okay. She had come ahead of time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And who else came?
Then my sister and I came, because my grandmother was in the South.
What did your mother do for a living at that time?
Oh, she was worked for the hotel, the Wellington Hotel. Mm-hmm. Then she worked for the Carlisle. Mm-hmm. I think she was a chambermaid at the time.
Mm-hmm. And did you rent an apartment
in
that area?
Yes, we rented an apartment.
Okay. Who owned the building?
At that time?
Yeah.
I can't recall the name right now. But I know it was a white fellow.
Okay. Was the area predominantly white?
No, it was predominantly black.
Okay.
At that time. At least my street was.
But there were streets that were...
Oh yeah, there were streets that were, had quite a few whites at that time.
And when did you come to Crown Heights?
I came here in 1972.
Where did you go to school?
PS 70. And then I went to junior high school 35. And then I went to Franklin K. Lane. Okay. One of the first blacks to go there. The graduating class was the first group to go to Franklin K. Lane.
And why was that?
There weren't any blacks there at that time.
Okay. Was there a special reason that they came the year you came, or?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. It was just coincidence.
Just a coincidence at that time. Because I think the parents wanted their children to have a better education, so they thought to go to old white school. And that's where we went.
Okay. Now, did they think that to go to an old white school that the white schools had more money, were better funded? Or?
No, I think they thought that they had better educators. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they thought.
Okay. And you moved to Crown Heights. Where did you move first? To here?
No. You mean...
when you came from Bed-Stuy to Crown Heights?
Yeah. This is the first to settle.
To 1448 Carroll?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you've been here for 21 years?
Mm-hmm.
What expectations did you have when you moved up? What was the reason for moving from Bed-Stuy to here?
I wanted to get out of Bed-Stuy and out of the apartment that we had at the time, because I had six kids and my sons were growing up and I didn't want to grow up in Bed-Stuy.
Mm-hmm. Why was that?
Well, they had all types of gangs and stuff there. And, you know, when your children are young, it's different. But when they start to grow up, especially for boys, everything changes. So I figured if I got an apartment across Eastern Parkway, that's my thinking at the time, across Eastern Parkway, the neighborhoods were better. But a lot of times you can't run away from the neighborhood or from the people, because the same type of people that were there is over here also.
Okay. So that wasn't exactly true.
No.
Okay. You first moved into a house or an apartment?
In this house here.
Were you renting? Or
yes,
were you buying?
I was renting. We still rented.
Okay. All right. And from who?
From Clinton Green.
That's an agency?
It's an agency, but it's, he owns the agency.
Okay. Is he black or white?
He's black.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, did you hope to buy at some point?
Well, we were going to buy it at one time, but the kids was younger, and at that time we weren't making the type of money that at least we couldn't afford. That's what I thought at the time. Now we definitely can't afford it.
How common is it for the people on the block to own their homes?
Oh, very common. Mostly everybody owns block, at least the private homes own their homes.
Were there any organizations that you used when you came to Crown Heights?
No.
Who did you socialize with?
Well, I really socialized with the same friends that I've always socialized with.
So in Bed-Stuy?
Yeah, Bed-Stuy. I have, you know, friends in different parts, not only on Bed-Stuy, but Long Island, you know, and Queens, places like that.
And what jobs did you have?
Well, I worked for the Board of Ed for 25 years, still there.
Doing what?
I was a food, well, I work with food with the children, and now I'm a food supervisor.
Okay. And what did the family do? What did your family do?
Well, I want to go from the youngest on up.
Okay.
Okay, my baby works for Transit, and my next son works for Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and my other son works for... No, my other son was in the Navy. Now he's down. He's in North Carolina, and he works for the airline. Then I have a son that works for Bellevue, and my other daughter. I only have one daughter. My daughter, she works for Bellevue, but she just took a 2-year absent leave to go back to school and get an master's degree. And I have my oldest son. Well, he's nothing to speak about.
Was there a significant black population in Crown Heights when you came?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And was there a mixed or mostly black by that time?
Yeah, it was mixed at that time, but it was mostly blacks. There are more Jews live here now than it did then, because the people who own their homes, the older people who own their homes, well, if they haven't deceased or something like that, or gave the homes to their children, Jews have came in and bought up a lot of the property.
Okay, and this from the older black people who own their homes? Okay. Mm-hmm. And is that because of, are people retiring and selling, or?
Well, a lot of people retired, a lot of people passed away.
Okay.
They left a lot of people left their homes to their children, and then their children felt like the money that these people came in with, because when they come to buy your house, they come with the money, with the cash. And so they buy the homes, and then you look, they're all moving in, because we only had about 3 on this block when I first moved here. You could really count it. Now it's maybe 20. 25.
Is it more difficult now for a black family to purchase?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because people don't have the money.
Okay. So has the Jewish increase in the Jewish population increased the value of property? Or
yes, they have.
Cost? Okay. Mm-hmm. How do people react to that?
Well, people really don't like it, but what can they do? They have no other choices. They don't make the money. People don't make the black black people don't make the money that the Jews make. Mm-hmm. And if they do, they don't. A lot of people, black people, don't have the education either. Mm-hmm. You know, so it all balances out. So you know, if you have to rent, then that's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's about it.
Are there fewer places to rent though? If there's that much purchase?
Well, to me, this is how I go here. I don't know about any place else, but I know like the apartment building that they just fixed around the corner, there is no blacks there at all. And I think the reason that there's no blacks there is that the Jews purchased that building and they only have Jews in there. So if black go to find to get an apartment, they can't get it because the rent is too high.
what reaction do you think people are going to have to that? Black people in particular?
Black people don't like that at all. I know I wouldn't either if I had to go out and find an apartment there. I wouldn't like that.
So it'll be resentment towards it.
Of course.
If I walk through Crown Heights right now, if you walked with me through Crown Heights, what things would you point out that represent you and your neighborhood most?
Things that represent me. There's really not a lot of things that represent black people in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Maybe the bowling alley on Ocean Avenue. That I don't know if blacks own that, but that's, you see all these paintings and things of different athletes and things like that over there. And the Meg Evers College down there on Carroll and Bedford. And let me see what else. Really, I mean, there are nice homes, big homes, like maybe on President Street, you know, those type homes, those Victorian type homes.
Right.
They have those over there. But otherwise, there's really not a lot of things over here for blacks. Mm-hmm. At least I haven't seen them.
Why is that? Is there any reason for that?
I really don't know, because blacks don't own too many things around here. If you come around here during the, say for instance now, it's near 6 o'clock, if you go on Kingston Avenue, everything is just about closed. Mm-hmm. Maybe you might find one or two stores that are open from Empire Boulevard to Eastern Parkway. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I can only think of two, to tell you the truth. And that's the grocery store that's right here on Crown and Kingston. And the cleaners, Hank's Cleaners, that's the only one. Only thing I can think of that's open.
So if you had to go shopping right now, you would have to go to?
I would have to go to Associated, or I would have to go, that's on Empire. And either I would have to go to Pioneer, or if I wanted to walk a while or whatever, I'd go to Utica Avenue, where there's a lot of people of Caribbean people up there.
Yeah. Now that's obviously an inconvenience. how do people normally blame the Hasidim for that, or?
Yeah, I think they do. I really do. But like I said, a lot of black people do not have the funds to open businesses and things like that. Or they don't have the education, or they don't want to open. Yeah. One of the three.
Have the number of Hasidic stores or Hasidic-owned stores on Kingston Avenue increased over time?
Yes.
And has that added to this sort of resentment that...
I guess it has,
okay.
Because I really don't do that much shopping around here.
Okay.
I go to supermarkets and things like that, places like that.
Do you do that intentionally?
No, it's just that I do that because there aren't any stores here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, maybe you just go to the corner store around the corner there and get something, but as far as markets and things like that, we don't have that.
What things, to come inside the house now for a minute, if you pointed out things in your house that represent you and your family, what things would, for instance, if you had to do a museum exhibit and take three things from your house to show people something about you, what would you take?
Well, I could take my family, and then maybe I could take my living room, things like that. My family albums, stuff like that.
So photographs?
Yeah, photographs, things like that.
How active are you in this community?
Well, since my kids have grown up, I'm really not active. Because when my children were young, I was active in PTA and things like that, and going on trips and stuff like that. After my children grown up, I don't have anything to do.
The schools that your children went to, were they predominantly black or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did the Hasidim or other Jewish communities participate in it at all?
No, in the schools.
In those schools?
Yeah. No.
So they all went to?
They all went to the
Hebrew schools.
Yeah.
Okay. What then was the, what were the main goals of the PTA here in Crown Heights? Was it to attract more students?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. They tried to.
Were they good schools that you?
Yeah, I think the schools were pretty good that my kids went to.
How about the teachers?
Well, I'll tell you like this here. If you have a pretty smart child, then your children are going to be in pretty good classes. And if your children are not very bright, or if they're rather slow, then they're going to be in slower classes. Thank God that all mine was pretty smart.
So you were satisfied?
So I was satisfied, right. And I was always at the school or active at that time.
Do you attend a church or a temple or a mosque?
Yeah, I attend a church.
Which one do you attend?
Oh, well, I go back to Mount Lebanon.
In Brooklyn?
Dead South.
Okay. Why do you travel out there?
Well, there really is not a lot of churches over here. Not for black people. I mean, there are Seventh-day Adventist churches, and then there are West Indian churches. But to really, there's only one real church that I can think of offhand, and that's, what's the name of the church? It's on Union and Brooklyn. What is that church? Maybe St. Paul?
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, that church. Okay. That's the only one I can think of offhand.
Okay.
That American blacks go to.
Okay. Yeah. And that's what you were looking for?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you kept the one in Bedford Stuyvesant?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What big events in Crown Heights do you remember?
Big events. Really, the biggest event that's over here is the Labor Day Parade.
Okay, the Caribbean Day Parade?
Yeah, that's really the biggest thing that's over here. And I haven't gone to that in the past 10 years.
Why not?
Because the people up there, the children and the young people, and they carry on so bad up there. Mm-hmm. And instead of people having fun, you look around there having fights and things like that. And I prefer not to be around it.
How much contact do African Americans in this community in particular have with Caribbeans, the different Caribbean groups?
Oh, I'm sure they have quite a bit. Because my children's friends have a lot of Caribbean friends. But I just have neighbors, you know, and I'm the type of person, when I come in my house, I'm in. When I go out, I'm out. I mean, I don't socialize with them on the block. I mean, they have a block association. If they're having something, we have a block party or something like that, I'll participate with that. But as far as, you know, visiting and going here and there, that's not me.
Okay. The media, in particular, especially over the last 2 years, has presented an image of black people generally in Crown Heights as being a single group that's extremely somehow unified. Is that realistic? No?
That's not really true.
Then who are the black people in Crown Heights? Are there many?
There are a lot, but they're of different groups, you know. Mostly, American blacks stay with American blacks mostly, and Caribbean people stay with Caribbean, and Jews with them, with their people. That's the way it goes over here.
So that's much more realistic.
Yeah. It's more realistic than the media have focused on it.
If you were going to teach the media how to represent you in particular, because you're one of the groups being represented all the time,
mm-hmm.
What would you tell the media?
If they came to me and asked me?
Right.
Let's see. What would I tell them? Well, I really don't know. What would I tell the media if they came and asked me about
Crown Heights.
Mm-hmm. Well, and about African Americans in Crown Heights.
I mean, they take everything out of context, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And they portray us as violent, which a lot of black people aren't violent. Mm-hmm. But the media portrays them like that. And lazy, mm-hmm. which a lot of black people aren't lazy. And that's about it. They portray us as violent and lazy, and which we aren't, you know. But a lot of people do not have the education, and they don't have the they don't have a push, let's say, from family members or a family that will try to elevate them up a little higher, you know. Sometimes when it comes from the home, you have to try to give young people a push, you know. Because a lot of young black people don't want that, you know. They want to be passive, and that's it.
I found something interesting in what you just said, just talking about you for a minute. You've worked 25 years with mm-hmm. the Board of Ed. You've raised 6 children.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn on the television and you see black people portrayed as lazy.
Mm-hmm.
How is that personally?
Oh, that, believe me, it really ticks me off. Because people are not like that. Black people, young people are not, maybe not very young, but in their 20s, they're not like that. Mm-hmm. You know, because if one person is... I mean, they think that if one person does something, the rest will do the same thing. And it's not like that, you know? It's just like any family. If you have one bad child, that don't mean the rest is going to be like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, that's how the media take us.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel abused somehow because of that view? Because, I mean, this is a view that will then come to define you eventually.
Yeah, in a way I do.
To go back, you came in 1971 to Crown Heights. How has 72, I'm sorry. How has Crown Heights changed since then?
Oh. Well, basically, it really hasn't changed a lot. It just has, they've gotten more Jews in, and there's more black people here, and there's more friction. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of black people think that the Jews get the preferential treatment always from police, from on up to the mayor's office, and that's the way they feel like that. But it really hasn't changed that much from when my children were young up to now. It really has not changed that much.
I've heard before that Jews get preferential treatment in Crown Heights, or at least that's a perception here. Is it real? I mean,
it's real. Okay. It's real.
And how do black people know that Jews get preferential treatment?
Well,
I mean, when do you see it?
All the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, when can a group of Jews stop a city bus from passing their church or whatever,
synagogue.
I mean, if a bus came down our block passing our church, it would keep on going. Am I right? You're gonna have a police stop, and this does. And if what's time? A little bit, maybe another hour or so. If you go to President Street, right there, when the Jews are going to their synagogue, you will find a policeman with a car stopping the traffic right there until they go in or till they pass by. You don't see that in a black church. Never. I've never seen it, and I've been here 21 years. I haven't seen it yet. And that's what people get. They're very upset. And if we would congregate in front of the 71st precinct, right, our young people will probably come out there, get their heads knocked up or thrown upside a car or something because they're making a lot of noise. But if the Jews is there, what do? They're standing there and they're making a lot of noise and the police is not doing anything. And I have seen that too. And I don't think that's right. But it happens. And I've definitely seen it.
Have most black people in this community seen that? I mean,
of course.
Experienced it.
They have, especially, maybe, I don't know about the older people, because maybe the older people don't go out. But I have seen it, and the younger people will tell you themselves. People in their 20s, maybe early 30s, like that, they will tell you that that happens.
So is it younger people who are most resentful?
Oh, yes. The young people, they're very, very resentful, very much so.
The Hasidim must know that when people see that sort of treatment, they're going to react negatively to it.
Uh-huh.
Does that make it worse,
uh-huh.
that they know it and it still happens?
Uh-huh.
I mean, do people talk about that part of it too?
Or? Yeah, they talk about that. They talk about that also.
So
well,
it's
see,
not...
I have no dealings with the Jews because mm-hmm. they don't have anything that I need
mm-hmm.
because I can go to other places and get it. That's the way I always been. I mean, they got barbershops here. My children never go to a Jewish barbershop. They have stores, restaurants here. I never go to a pizza shop over here. My kids never go to a pizza shop. Or they have grocery stores. I will go into a grocery store, but most stuff in the Jewish grocery store is what do you call it? What's the word I'm trying to find? When they pray over whatever.
Oh, kosher.
Kosher, mm-hmm. right. Everything is kosher, so I don't go in there. So I go to the supermarkets
mm-hmm.
or small store. There's not that many around here.
So is the source of friction that you talked about this sort of difference in treatment, or are there other things too?
Yeah, that, and that's among other things too,
mm-hmm.
you know. And people really don't, and then another thing too, people don't know each other's culture either. That's another thing also. You know, so that has a lot to do with it also.
Would it help to know why the Hasidim do what they do?
I really couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know.
If you were to give some suggestions about things that could be changed to make Crown Heights better, where would you start?
Well, I'll definitely start with young people.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. And maybe start with the schools. I mean, you know, when you're bringing up children, you have to instill in them some kind of morals. And today, you hear so much things about the Jews, and the Jews hear so many things about the blacks. So they have to really start to know each other. Because if you don't, this world is going to be messed up.
Is there anyone attempting, or any, is the government at all, or the city government attempting to do that, to bridge the distance?
Well, I haven't seen anything, to tell you the truth. They might be doing something, but I don't know. Because I'm not really involved in any of the politics and what that goes on.
What are the good parts of having the Hasidim here? What do they bring that's actually beneficial to the area?
Well, I think they bring a little bit less crime.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really about it, because they don't really sit, and they don't sit and talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't. If you walk down the street, you pass them, and they pass you. They never open their mouth to speak to you and anything like that.
Do you open your mouth to speak to them?
No, because they don't speak to me.
Okay.
I used to do that, but they don't speak, so I figure, well, why should I waste my time? You know. That's the way I look at it.
Do people get a sense that the Hasidim think they're better than
yeah.
everybody else here?
I think so.
Is that?
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm. What do the Caribbeans and African Americans bring to Crown Heights? I mean, what have they contributed?
Well, I think they want a better life when they come here. They try to get more, you know, a lot more education. You know, they try to educate themselves and their families. They try to get a professional type job when they come here. You know, like that. Really. And they open businesses also. I mean, not here, not around here, because we don't have anything around here. But like, for instance, Utica Avenue, places like that.
to have them in Flatbush and places like that.
What do you like best about Crown Heights?
Oh, I like the quietness. The quietness I like.
That's residential? Or?
Yeah, it's residential. It's not a lot of carrying on. You know, you don't hear a lot of people standing on the corners and yelling and screaming and carrying on like that.
What do you like least?
Least?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. What I like least? There's not too many things I dislike over here because I don't have any dealings with people over here. So, mm-hmm. You know, my time is very limited over here. And I have other things that I'll be doing. I'll be home that often.
If you were going to walk into a room full of people and tell them about Crown Heights, what would you tell them? This place that you live in.
Well, I can tell them that it's a nice neighborhood. It's quiet. I mean, it's peaceful as long as you stay to yourself. that's about it. I mean, black people are very friendly. Jews aren't friendly. Maybe they would be friendly if our people would be more friendly, but right now it's a friction and it's always been like that ever since I've been here. So if it ever changes, believe me, it'll be a miracle. I'm telling you, because I've been here 21 years and I haven't seen a change.
So you don't see any sort of ending of the tensions that caused the riots in 91?
I'm telling you, the only ending that they're going to have with this here is that if the younger people have more understanding with each other. Because as you grow older, the older people are not having any kind of relationship with the older people and other people. Never.
If another incident like the one that sparked the first riot happened, do you think there would be another riot?
That's hard.
I know it's a terrible thing to have to predict, but I mean, are those tensions still so strong that there's the possibility?
Oh, there's always tension here.
Okay.
So I don't know. I hope not. Believe me, I really do. Because you had to be here in order to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to go through that again. I mean, it's the most scariest thing in the world. And you see, they think everything happened on Utica up there, but it didn't on our block. Five people got their cars. They just burnt up. And people did not know if they were black people's cars, and they didn't know if they were Jewish people's cars. All they know is that they clashed together. Blacks came from this way, Jews came from this way, and they clashed on Carroll Street and Albany. It was terrible. And I wouldn't like to see that. And then they were talking about bombing people's houses. And then everybody's outside. I mean, you know, Jewish people were afraid to come outside. Black people came outside because they didn't want people thinking, hey, I mean, you're gonna mess my house up, you know? So that's the reason they were out. Not out in the street, but on their stoops and whatnot. So I wouldn't want to see anything like that happen again.
Do you think that politicians generally have responded reasonably to Crown Heights, or have they taken advantage of it?
And I don't know. I don't know if they have taken advantage of it or what, because what happened when a politician come in, he'll talk to one group and then he'll talk to another, and then there's never both groups together. You know what I'm saying? Either they'll talk to them by themselves and they'll talk to, but when you put them together, then there's tension. You know? And that's the way it was. And I hope they don't come back and do that again. Because I even think last week they were out here and they were talking, after the report came out, and they were talking about the riots and everything. And that Dinkins didn't do this and he didn't do that, you know, with the police and whatnot. So I really don't know.
Well, you were here during the riots.
Yes.
How did you react to all that, to this report, and what's your take on it?
what I can see from the report, because I mean, I didn't read the report or anything like that, but what I heard from the news that the police wasn't reacting to the riots like they should have. But I feel like this here, I mean, there's few, if somebody's going crazy and they're going down the street acting crazy and they're throwing, and I mean, what they gonna do, shoot everybody? You know, I mean, they can't kill everybody out there. So I don't know if they weren't prepared for riots. You know, that's another thing too you have to look at. These policemen here, they weren't prepared for any riot, because the way the people were coming up and down the street, and the Jews is up and down the street like that. It was terrible. And I was so frightened for people out there, and I couldn't understand parents letting their young people in all this. I mean, where's the authority, you know? I mean, don't they have any kind of say-so over their children? I mean, it was one of mine. He would have been in the house or half murdered. I would have did it myself. He wouldn't have been out there. But it was awful. So I don't know if the police and what I can understand, they weren't prepared for nothing like that. They didn't figure anything like this was going to happen. You know, they probably thought that, you know, maybe somebody will fight or something, and then they're going to, you know, push it back, and that was going to be the end, squash it down, and that was going to be the end of it. But the young people went absolutely crazy.
And were young people on, I hate to put it this way, both sides?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Young and old on Hasidic people. Well, really, you don't know who's too much old, but you can tell young people, young and old in the Hasidic people. But there were young people, black people, mostly young black people. So it was awful. I just hope nothing like that ever happens again.
How did the community respond? I mean,
people was upset. Yeah. They were outraged over things like that. To me, this is the way I perceive it. To me, it was an accident. A child got killed, sure. It was an accident. That was an accident. But you don't go back and kill somebody else because of an accident. I mean, accidents happen every day, you know? Just because this was a Jewish fella, and maybe they over there, the Jewish people and the blacks were just already at it. I don't know, because I lived over here. I wasn't over there where they were at. And the way they were carrying on, you know, I mean, accident happened every day. You know, I felt so bad. I felt bad for both sides. I felt very bad for that Cato family, and I felt very bad for somebody who went and killed that Jewish fellow.
Rosenbaum,
yeah. I felt very bad for that too, because that shouldn't have happened. But it did, and a lot of people have to live with that. It's awful. But I hope it never happens again.
To move on to something a little bit lighter, your family is here in Crown Heights. What do you do for fun?
Oh, well, I guess my children, they go do different things. I mean, we used to go to Prospect Park all day when they were younger, Prospect Park, but now they got their own families. I mean, I don't have no babies now. My baby is 31, so I really don't have no babies. And they go places and they travel, and with their own children, they go, you know, I guess they go to parks and places like that.
Do you want your, this is to me answered two ways, but if I asked you, would you have wanted your children to live in Crown Heights?
You mean now?
Yeah.
Well, three of my children still do live in Crown Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that they like it here. They like it here because they were brought up here. I mean, they were young when they were here, you know. So they were brought up here. And they used to be, I mean, they have plenty of friends, but it's not like, you know, they wasn't like over in Bed-Stuy. They like it over here. Mm-hmm. Much better than over there.
Do you suspect that your grandchildren will stay?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Probably so. If the parents live here, probably the children will also, you know.
What do you want people to know about you as an African American woman and a resident of Crown Heights? That's a big one, but
yeah. Well, I'm a hard working, honest person. That's about it. I mean, I'm a family person. You know, that's, my life is surrounded by my family. And that's about it. I mean, I do other things, I don't get me wrong, but mostly that's what it is.
Have you had a strong family?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean my family?
Yours personally.
Oh, yeah, well, my mother, she was a one-parent family. You know, I came from one-parent family, and just my sister and I, that's all, just the two of us.
Okay, but it was a very tight group then.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
And how about your own family?
My family stuff? Oh, yeah. They'll be here after a while, don't worry.
Okay. Has that been important to
you? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how about the other people in your neighborhood, on your block, for instance? Are there a lot of good families?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of good families on this block. A lot of good families.
Is that one of the benefits of it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mostly everybody's a strong family on this block.
Where are there not strong families in this neighborhood?
In this neighborhood?
Yeah.
Well, I really don't know because, I mean, I don't socialize with people around here. So, I mean, in different areas. I really don't know. I mean, I used to hear about Brownsville and East New York and places like that when I was younger. But, I mean, I don't be out there, so I don't know, you know.
But for the most part, Crown Heights has.
Yeah, Crown Heights. And Bed-Stuy, look, Bed-Stuy is pretty good too because I just left there when my children were young for a better apartment because the apartments and stuff weren't all that good over there. But I have a lot of friends in Bed-Stuy also. A lot of friends.
Do you have much contact with South Carolina? Do you have any family there?
I just came from there two weeks ago.
Okay. How often do you go?
Well, this is the second year in a row I've been, and I have a close family down there also. I mean, I don't have any more aunts and uncles alive. I went down last year, was my grandmother's sister was the last of that family, even my family, my mother and I. So she was the last of the old people. And now the generation starts from me and my, well, we the older ones. Mm-hmm. My sister and I, and then my cousins that's down there. And I have two cousins that's in Jersey from my, you know, my mother and her brother and sister's children. That's where it starts from now, outside.
Now you're not close to this yet, but when you retire, is Crown Heights where you want to stay?
Oh no, I'm not gonna be here because my children will be here, but I'm gonna go back
to South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What part is that?
Blackville, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I'm already making preparations.
Why back to South Carolina?
Well, I have a lot of cousins there, and I have a lot of friends that's there. Although my children is here. Don't get me wrong now. I'll be back here. It's not that I'm just going to go and be there always. I'll be, because you got to remember, I have six children, and I'll be visiting all the time, or they'll be there. I'm only really getting a place there for the benefit that everybody can come to. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. So I got 5 more years, and I'll be straight.
Has that been a goal for a while now?
To
get back to South Carolina and have a
No.
Is it new?
It's something new that happened about 6 years ago when my aunt my mother's sister, the last of the children, passed away. And she was the only one. She had no children or nothing. And I felt so bad for her. And I said, if I would ever retire, I would go there, I would come down and get someplace so that my children would have someplace to come when they wanted to come. So that's what's happening now.
And for that, you chose South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
back home.
Right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.